You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM. We are at Latitude Festival and I'm joined by a bit of a legend, Mr. Sean Rowley. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Gareth.
Thank you. I mean, so, radio presenter for some of the biggest stations on the planet, Radio 1, yeah. Six Music, co-founder of festivals, club nights, music compilations. I mean, you've been a sprinkling stardust on our lives for quite some time now. I mean, I'm talking to you about Guilty Pleasures today because that's what I'm going to be watching you do later. I know it's taking you back a while, but how did Guilty Pleasures come about and why?
Well, Guilty Pleasures came about in a very sort of a moment where it was like the planets were lining up and it meant that I had just had to do this because I was presenting a radio show on BBC London. And my show used to go out in the evening, and it was more of an alternative type of radio show, it was in the early 2000s. And I got pulled up by the head of the station, and he said, I like what you do, but you need to play more familiar music to the listeners. And I was like, well, okay, and I slightly struggled with it because that's not the route I wanted to go. I didn't want to be like a sort of mainstream radio DJ. But then I sort of felt like I had it wasn't like I didn't like mainstream music. It was just I didn't want to play the things that everyone else was playing on the radio. So I looked at it long and hard and sort of started thinking back to when I first got into music. And when I first got into music, I was a teenager and it was in the 70s. And I was really into quite sort of cheesy pop. Bands like ELO, bands like the Bee Gees, slightly more sort of one-hit wonder type acts like the Alessi Brothers, Captain and Tennille, to name but a few. Yeah. They were the sort of records that I had on 7-inch, but I'd always hide them when my mates came round to listen to records, as you did as teenagers. And then I started thinking, there are those tunes that I really like, but even now that I know that they're a bit cheesy. And so I sort of forced myself to slip a few into the mix on my radio show. And lo and behold, it had a reaction off the listening public that was completely like in line with how I was thinking about it. And people started ringing up and requests. And I had announced the records as being Guilty Pleasure records, records that you shouldn't love, but you really do love. And the listeners jumped on board. And right from that moment, because I was seeing the reaction that I was getting off listeners, I knew that I was sort of touching a chord and I knew that there was something in it. And pretty soon I was asked by Sony Records to do a compilation. And then on the back of a compilation, I started doing a club night, and the club night grew really quickly. And within a few months, we were turning out we were doing a residency at Coco in Camden. We were doing 1,500 people on a Saturday night. And it just literally snowballed into a beast.
it is definitely a beast, but in a very good way. So I mentioned that you're a festival founder. I mean, festivals, from what I can tell, are important to you. I mean, how did Guilty Pleasures become one of the essential things at so many brilliant festivals?
Well, thank you for that. I know why. It's because Guilty Pleasures sort of works on so many different brilliant levels for so many different generations, and yet we're all united by under the banner of pop. And when you play, it's like a band going out on on the headline slot. And what are they going to do? Are they going to play the hits, or are they going to play a track off their new album? They're going to play the hits, and Guilty Pleasures plays the hits.
Brilliant. I mean, you mentioned the fact that it appeals to many generations. I mean, my children have joined me at Guilty Pleasures nights and had an incredible time. They won't have heard many. I mean, I'll have heard the songs when they first came out. They're new to them, but they're still hands in the air, glitter all over their faces, loving it. I mean, that appeal must feel pretty special.
Yes, it does. It does. And it's funny you just mentioned your family, because my family's here with me this weekend. And they're going to be, and they jump around to records by Queen, and ELO, etc. And they just love pop. Everyone loves a great pop record.
You've with the Nights at Festivals, you've had many different special guests over the years. I mean, you kind of introduced the Old Dirty Brasses to a wider audience. I mean, how do you choose we've had sort of 90s rave cover version bands. I mean, how do you find and choose the special guests?
Well, the concept with bringing guests on board for Guilty Pleasures Nights is that they've got one foot in the mainstream and one foot in a slightly twisted, different version of the mainstream. So where you've got the Old Dirty Brasters, it's like they may be playing the hits of Amy Winehouse or Daft Punk, but it's a 10-piece brass band playing the hits of Amy Winehouse. So the whole point about it is always to take the mainstream and turn it on its head.
Brilliant. When you're up there, and how's, I mean, it's going to probably feel quite special tonight. First, I take it this is the first festival that you've done since COVID.
Yeah. Okay. So we are. It's what is it? Saturday the 24th, is it, or 23rd? It was lockdown. We, you know, the COVID restrictions were announced on Monday the 19th. I actually played a gig last night, not a festival gig, but in a sort of bar area where it was the first time that I have been DJing for the last few months, but they've all been under COVID restrictions, which is very strange. People seated at tables, people, you know, sit in groups of six, 2 metres apart. There's no dancing, no singing along in some cases. And last night I played a gig and people were weeping because they were actually allowed to dance. So I don't quite know what I am. The emotions will be running tonight.
Must admit, I went to see Frank Turner in Clapham on Monday, and he cried about five or six times on stage. I can't say how many times I cried, but I mean, it's just emotional. It just feels special to be able to do it again.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one, I reckon.
So, I mean, last question, and I'll let you get back to your day and prepare for tonight. You know, as you stand there, drag queens, the most diverse audience possible in many, many occasions, and do you look out and think that actually that it's such a welcoming, encompassing thing that you've created? I mean, it shows what we could be in this country. I mean,
it is, it is lovely. It's funny because you don't stop and actually think of that, you know, nine times out of ten, but there will always be a moment, you know, even without the special attachment of the emotions that are going to run high tonight, there will always be a moment where you sort of get lost in the reaction that's coming off the crowd. I love it. You know, people quite often come up to me and say, I met my wife at a Guilty Pleasures event and now look, we've got a family. So I like to lay the claim that babies have been born because of Guilty Pleasures.
You are responsible for children all over the world, but not your own. Obviously you're over. Okay, thank you very much for your time today. It's been really lovely to speak to you.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Hope it goes really well tonight.
Thank you very much.